You're listening to Stateside. I'm Lester Graham, sitting in for Cynthia Canty. Retirement accounts, specifically 401k plans, were never intended to be a substitute for a pension, but the reality is most people, if they have a retirement account, it's a 401k. Last year, the Wall Street Journal ran a piece in which the creators of the 401k worried about what they'd started. The 401k was designed to supplement income from Social Security and a pension. It's supposed to be a three-legged stool. Here to talk about 401ks and how we use them is Frank Stafford. He's a professor of economics at the University of Michigan. When these things first came out, were brokers' claims about 401k plans oversold?
Well, yeah. And of course, at the same time that these came out, there was a rapid demise of the traditional formula plans, the so-called defined benefit plans. With that exit from the firms offering these types of traditional plans, something new looked very attractive.
Well, the companies were saying, okay, pensions are expensive. They're becoming more complicated. There's this 401k tool, and people started getting those, and other people were saying, look at that 401k. They're growing. It was really fast. This looks like a lot better than a pension. So convincing employees wasn't that difficult at the time, right?
Right, and I think people do consider a 401k or the different forms of it a type of pension. And, of course, there's a huge advantage in terms of the taxes because you can put in the money pre-tax dollars, and then you pay taxes when you draw. But another interesting feature is the interim interest that is generated until you draw on it is also subject to no income tax. So it creates this highly favorable thing if you're willing to participate consistently over a long period of time.
And that's the problem, because today for households between ages 50 and 55, the median retirement account balance is $8,000. For those between 56 and 61, the median is $17,000. I don't know how you're going to retire on that.
Well, you won't. That's simple. I mean, but one of the factors we see is, of course, there's so much tapping in to the pensions prior to retirement. Certainly during the Great Recession, there was a lot.
Oh, they're taking loans against their own retirement account.
Right. So they're drawing down, and at a great penalty, they have to rebuild it. The other way that leads to a demise of fund buildup is a decline in participation. So there's fairly heavy penalties for taking money out too early before 59 and a half. But if you just say, well, I'm not participating because I want that money to buy groceries, there's no direct obvious penalty. And a lot of people, that's what we've been looking at recently, decide, well, I'm going to not participate.
Yeah, I mean, at one time, companies were offering like usually a one-to-one match or maybe a half-to-one match, and now a lot of companies don't offer a match at all. There's no real incentive, immediate incentive, to invest in a 401k. What's the likelihood we've got a whole generation, or for that matter, generations, headed into a retirement of poverty?
The answer is yes, we do. I think, again, we do have public pensions, although the whole Social Security system is under some stress, but it's not something that can't be somewhat reasonably corrected. But I think there's most people who have middle to higher income will find that Social Security certainly will not replace their standard of living when they retire, even if they try to cut back expenses. We will, and some people will accumulate very, very little in the way of the Social Security allocation. So I think you're definitely right. I mean, this is a deep concern. And the way that you build up your pension with what's called a defined contribution, such as a 401k, you have to put money into something, the stock market. And our work shows that with each of the more recent recessions, middle and mid-range families who might have owned stocks are very leery of it. If they keep in their pension, they're getting away from stocks. So they say, well, I'm getting away from stocks, but fixed interest funds are so bad.
Right. It's so low. Right?
So low. So then they say, well, why do I do either? So we see a lot of exit from 401ks.
I know of a guy who was planning on retiring just about the same time the Great Recession hit, and then he watched his portfolio tank. And I'm wondering, you know, if this, irrational exuberant market we're seeing right now, if it tanks in a few years just before, you know, a lot of us are going to be thinking about retiring, what do you do then? I mean, what do you do when your 401k shrinks to half or two-thirds of what it was?
Right. And I mean, again, there is some restrictions on how the funds are invested. again, I think there are offerings of aggressive stock funds for your pension. That's not a good idea as I see it. It's also the case that there could be drops. I do feel right now that the stock market, while the prices are very high, the earnings of these companies are also very high. So it's not as extreme as the dot-com bubble where the prices were totally unrelated to earnings.
Right. And with the tax break, that just means the companies should be in better shape than ever, you would think.
That's also true. I do hope that there isn't some lurking systemic factor such as for the Great Recession, which was all the junk mortgages. We do have Bitcoin, so there's busy people with great ambitions to transform the money world and make a lot of money. I do worry things that come in as a systemic risk that could jeopardize the value of stocks, even though it's not stocks themselves.
Let's talk about personal finances for a moment. You know, what's the lesson here? What do you recommend to someone if they're 55 and their retirement account is at $8,000? What do you do between now and retirement, 12 years?
Well, I think, first of all, they have to consider extending their work life. Depends on your job. If it's heavy lifting and you're, you know, 65, that's going to be more difficult. If it's using a computer, it's easier to extend your work life. People do come back into the labor force after retiring, but I think they should be careful about exiting too early. Protection, too, they should be looking at other wealth they hold. Have they paid down their mortgages? Regrettably, this has become far less common than it was 30 years ago. So the instant refi has led for many of these pre-retired folks, compared to the historic 30 years ago, having no mortgage or a very small balance, having a substantial balance. So I think one thing, however, that's positive is if they do pay off their mortgage, this is a substantial protection because they can draw on it. They can get a home equity loan.
I was going to say, a lot of people are also doing these reverse mortgages. What do you think of those, that product?
Those are very complex. There's issues about how fast do you draw it down, and when the person passes away, who's going to sell it, who's going to claim the outstanding balance, and so on. So I think those are assets that do have some attraction, but they do have a lot of practical problems. They're essentially a type of life annuity.
Now, I know you don't predict what Congress is going to do, but if you had a crystal ball here, do you think we're going to have to do something soon about Social Security? It's one of the entitlements that they've been looking at. They're not going to do it to the people who are currently getting it because that would cause a backlash like Washington's never seen. But they can say to guys that are 10, 15 years away from retirement, look, you're not going to get as much as you thought you were.
Yeah, there's going to be some of that. There's going to be somewhat increased taxes. Again, we do have to remember that Social Security is called a contributory social program. So it isn't just, gee, you're in poverty, here's some money. Basis is, what have you contributed? It's ostensibly somewhat redistributive. However, the high-income people tend to live longer. So in fact, it's, at the end of the day, fairly proportional. So the, in general, the payouts are not too far away to the amount of money that's put in terms of life expectancy. So it's got the feature that you don't outlive it, which is also attractive. It's one of the few life annuities that's indexed for inflation. It's very difficult to buy an annuity and say, well, I want it going into the future as long as I live to rise at the unknown future inflation rate. So it's a very attractive program. I think it's going to be some of three things: somewhat higher tax rates, a lot of encouragement so that there's more incentives to keep working, particularly if you're healthy. And then third, people are going to respond. If those structures are okay, they're going to respond if their health is good to working to later years.
All I can say is if you're young, start putting it in that 401k right now, because you're going to be sorry when you're 67 and there's only $8,000 in the account. That's going to be a bad deal for you.
That is certainly the case. I mean, and I think for many people, it is the case that Social Security will be quite substantial, but for many others, they may have not contributed as much to Social Security. Certainly it's not going to support their lifestyle. And if they don't have a successful pension that they've built up, they're going to be at a much lower standard of living. People don't like to reduce their standard of living. We see that people don't cut down on their consumption, or at least don't want to. They don't say, well, I'm going to have a simple life and live in a small village in the middle of nowhere. So they want to stay in the city. They want to have a car. They want to have a vacation. So their standard of living, to protect that, they're going to have to put in money in a 401k. They're also going to have to avoid the temptation to think, oh, this is a once-in-a-lifetime event. I got divorced or I'm moving. So a lot of people, when they have a life event, they all of a sudden don't account for long-term commitment. And they tap into it, which prevents an accumulation going forward. And they have to pay a penalty if they tap in under age 59 and a half.
That's Frank Stafford, a professor of economics at the University of Michigan. Thanks for helping us understand these 401ks a little better.
Well, it's a definitely important issue.